you're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steven C. Phillips, and as always, thank you for tuning in. So, what's new with you guys this week? For me, we tried out this little experiment with Altered Geek, and there'll be one that releases after this episode, actually. Kind of the key element there is I am able to record multiple 20-minute segments, give or take a few minutes, but as we kind of mentioned in that first one, it's to kind of break down the topics and hit some of the things that are floating about and kind of buzzworthy on the interwebs at that particular time that people may be going bananas over, such as the Fox Disney thing, the Star Wars, or you know, just fun topics like the SNES. Just kind of looking for light, fun topics to discuss things with, and we'll be recording more of those. And I'll kind of intersperse them throughout the week, having maybe one or two of those release a week with one of these full-blown episodes here. So, yeah, we're on the cusp of Christmas. In fact, when the next episode of this show releases, it'll be just before New Year's. So, man, it's hard to believe the year's flown by that quickly. I'm so excited for the prospects of 2018 and for 2017 to be over with all of the massive hatred on social media and all of the butthurt over everything. Not saying anything derogatory against any particular group or people, just there's just been a lot of butthurt online. But yeah, it's been an interesting year. I saw Star Wars, as I mentioned in the previous episode that was released a few days ago. In case people hadn't listened to that. And I think that the film was really well done for the most part. It did destroy everything we knew and didn't know. I have since read articles pertaining to the film. And there really isn't anything that states what the Force can or cannot do. There's probabilities of things for the next film. I mean, JJ could bring back Luke. There was also the thing of the Rotten Tomatoes score, and I loathe Rotten Tomatoes even more than, say, a movie critic, because again, it's a culmination of reviews. It's really no different than anything else. But anyways, they investigated because for some reason Star Wars fan vote was 53% or something in that area. Very, very low audience score. And it's kind of surprising that, yeah, it was 54%, that this film intentionally had a lower rating. And more or less, what was said is they had various teams looking into it and just trying to make sure that the authenticity was correct. And Disney was more or less just meh, nobody cares. Like it's, you know, it's our film. We really don't care what this has to say. That being said, how would you rank the Star Wars films? Because that kind of puts it into an interesting twist here, is now we've had Rogue One, and we've had 8 Star Wars films. And so, for me, it's kind of a little bit difficult to rank them, because there's various issues and good things with each film. However, if I had to rank them, I would do this for my top 5. I would probably put Empire Strikes Back. I would put it as my number 2, and I would put Return of the Jedi as number 1, only for the fact that you know, you get the Luke with the green jet lightsaber thing, you get the Emperor, you get, I mean, essentially, and this is kind of funny, is we had no backstory of the Emperor before the prequels. And we're getting the same, you know, head buildup for Snoke, and there's no backstory for him. So again, it's not really that much different. The only difference is the apprentice, you know, kills the boss early. So, I mean, essentially, it mirrored Return of the Jedi in that scene. And then there's a lot of parallels in the new stuff to the old stuff, and people are kind of forgetting that as they're watching them. And I think that that's been a lot of the problem. Not to mention that it's just people have this legend status of Luke, and that's kind of why everybody's kind of so upset about what happens in the film. So I'm going to move to something a little bit lighter. Anyway, I guess I should finish ranking them. I would put Return of the Jedi as my number one, Empire Strikes Back as number two, and then Star Wars as my number three. And then I would put probably Star Wars as number, like, five. I would probably put The Last Jedi as my number three. Only for the fact we got to see elements of the Force that we had never seen before. With Luke just showing off his power, and kind of some of the way that things happened with, you know, the light speeding through the Imperial Snoke's Star Destroyer and various cool oddities like that, and I'd probably put The Force Awakens at number four just because it has Han Solo and he kind of goes out with a bang, literally. And then my number six would be Revenge of the Sith, because you get to see the rise of Palpatine and Vader all on that one film. And that's kind of my favorite aspect of that film is building them up. And I would probably put, I'm going to put Attack of the Clones as number, like, towards the bottom. I'll put The Phantom Menace as my number seven. Number eight, I'll put Attack of the Clones. And then number nine, I'll put Rogue One. The only thing that I found to be good in Rogue One was Vader at the end, which made him that much more menacing going into the Star Wars Episode 4. And honestly, that's I didn't need the film. So I'm really wondering, and I'm hoping that the Han Solo film isn't a waste of time, although I perceive it maybe. I think that there will be a lot of nostalgia tied to it and a lot of love and hatred at the same time, just based on the fact it's Han Solo. And I think it'll do a lot better than Rogue One, honestly. Especially for me, because I like the established characters. So yeah, anyways, I'm going to take a quick break and come back on the other side with something else. Be right back. And we're back. So, I thought it would be fun to jump into some tech stuff. One of them I noticed the other day was a transparent solar cell is making any window generate electricity. Funny enough, this comes from my home state of Michigan, another magical innovation from this state. Michigan State University believes transparent solar glass windows could harvest as much energy as rooftop solar, but without the bulk. I honestly would love this. I would replace all of my windows to have this tap into my power system of my house so that I could not have to pay consumers energy so much money. Because I already rake over the coals for them now because I'm on my computer all the time. So anyways, it's tapping into this concept. I guess Elon Musk wants to do solar tiles, which are for roofing, but regardless, Michigan State University has other ideas. It wants to generate lots of solar energy, but without the rooftop modifications. So how can you make it not visible? Well, they position panels over each window. And they analyze the potential and show that by harvesting only invisible light, these devices can provide a similar electricity generation potential as rooftop solar while providing additional functionality to enhance the efficiency of buildings, automobiles, and mobile electronics. Could you imagine the ramifications of this? You could use this in electric cars and not have to plug them in. Just because of the sheer amount of light hitting the glass. You could do this with your house and power everything. You could do this with boats to charge the batteries. I mean, the uses for this particular concept are kind of limitless at this point. It's kind of insane, some of this technology that's coming out now. I mean, you could use this on the space station. You could use this on space shuttles, airplanes. Just the ability to generate electricity based off solar energy coming to the planet anyway through glass is just... I'm kind of surprised it's taken this long, honestly. But basically what you do is you add a transparent panel over an existing window... which is easier than installing a frame and heavy panels on a roof, obviously. So it's almost an invisible system, and if something goes wrong with a panel, then the replacement will be something the homeowner can carry out without help, which, again, I like, because I am not a handy person whatsoever. I'm still trying to get the other three doors done to my house. I've gotten three or four installed already. I have three more to go. I don't like this process, but... regardless, this is kind of a interesting design and concept for solar tech as we move forward. I can only imagine what they're going to use this for in the future. But yeah, the time is here again for a new phone to debut. Yeah, the rumors are true. Samsung's Galaxy S9. Will not be able to compete with the iPhone X. I wonder what that means. It's heading into 2018. It's going to be the rival to the iPhone X, essentially. But it's basically saying that even if you're not planning to buy a new phone next year, or if you're loyal to another brand, you'll want to pay attention to the Galaxy S9 will offer in terms of hardware. They haven't officially announced it. These are leaked images that kind of debuted somewhere on the interwebs. And it'll probably come out in March or somewhere around that. It'll be kind of similar size and with the regular M Plus size to the S7, S8 for the S9. Rumors suggest the smaller S9 will stick to a 5.8-inch display, and the S9 Plus will have a 6.2-inch, which are the same size as the 8 and 8 Plus. It's still going to have the signature curved edges on both front and back. As for the bezels, unclear. They're eliminating the chin and stretching the screen all the way to the bottom of the device, so no longer will you have buttons or any of that kind of stuff at the bottom. They had a concept artist kind of put it together based on some of the leaked shapes and designs that somehow got out, which I think is hilarious that these got out. It's reportedly going to have a Super AMOLED display and a new modification to it anyway, with brighter colors and brightness and... I'm wondering how the battery life, and I'm wondering what kind of speeds we're going to get with this. Because Qualcomm's got the Snapdragon 845 system on a chip, basically. Which gives 30% improved graphics performance and power efficiency. Greater security and improved wireless audio, as well as enhancements for photos and videos. Which, honestly, I have the S5. The photos on it are okay if you get it. Not zoomed in, not with any movement. If you have either of those, it blurs. It's terrible. But a regular camera is about the same anyway, so it doesn't really matter. You're going to have about the same effect. So there's rumors that it may have that, and then there's rumors that it may have, for the 9 Plus, might have more RAM, like 6 gigs instead of the 4 gigs on the small one. Which I think that's kind of sad that they're still putting that much that little memory in. I think that they should put more RAM on Android phones, because the phones don't have enough memory to run what is on them. And I have that problem with my current phone. I think that they should have at least 4 to 6 gigs minimum, with if not like 8. I would think 6 or 8 should be the benchmark to hit at this point, instead of the 4 gigs or 3 gigs or 2 gigs or whatever half these ones are doing. There's reporting that both of them should have 64 gig of storage, a micro SD slot, and yes, a headphone jack. And then it might include larger batteries, according to the leak from China, that it should have a 3200 mAh battery, up from the 3000 mAh on the S8. But there's no mention officially of anything. It's going to have the other pillars of the Galaxy stuff of wireless charging, water and dust resistant, and fingerprint sensor, which has been moved to the back. And yeah, I'm hoping that's good. And the camera is a little bit bigger as well. It looks like they're going to have that dual camera thing that everybody's starting to do now. So we'll see how that kind of plays out as that comes along. But I don't know. I'm wondering how that's going to go. I hope that the prices come down, because the fact of the matter is I'm on an S5. My wife's on an S5. They're 3 years old, and we're already getting close to the S9 coming out. So I'm already 3 phones behind before this one. And we're actually in the market to buy a new phone, and we're Android users. So we don't follow the whole Apple crowd. We don't, it's one thing looking at the computer. I hate the iPhone. I hate the iPhone, and I hate the iPad. Like, I hate the interface and the devices themselves. I love my Android phone. The only thing is our phones are starting to brick themselves, meaning that it's getting harder to find cases and protectable screens for them. And the hardware's slowing down. The batteries are crapping out. I bought replacement batteries. They're crapping out, too. My wife has to use hers for her job, because she's a ship shopper, which is basically a grocery shop for people that order stuff online at a local grocery store, and then they take it to their house. And so kind of getting to that point, I want a new phone. Battery life is very important. It has to be Android. I preferably want something speedy. But the problem is finding something in my price range. And that's been the difficult part, because I don't want to spend $800 to $1,000 or even $700 per phone when I'm replacing two. It's one thing if I'm going to spend $400, $500, $600 between two phones. I don't want to replace both for $800 or $800 a piece at that, which makes it difficult for me to find a new phone in this era, because I don't like the pay monthly thing, because you're still paying the same amount, but my cell bill goes up, and it's hard living on regular bills, let alone adding an additional $50 to $60 to my cell phone bill just to get a new device. I have looked at other ones. Like, I've looked at the ZTE brand. I've looked at Motorola's. I've looked at Unlocked, because I can buy those online, and then I can just sign up for a cell service. I have AT&T right now, but I'm tempted to move to Verizon, because not only do they have the unlimited stuff, but their signal is better in all areas, whereas AT&T has a lot of dead spots, especially in Michigan when you get up north or various other places. Because when I was on vacation this summer, I couldn't make any phone calls. I couldn't get on my phone. It was essentially a brick while we were up there. And then my family members that have Verizon were able to get on their phones and make phone calls and whatnot. But I had to get on Wi-Fi calling just to get a cell phone call through to work while I was there. Even though I was on vacation, I still felt obligated to work, because I'm that kind of a person. And The call kept dropping because the Wi-Fi wasn't all that dandy. So, yeah, if anybody has any suggestions how what to look up, where to go, some phones to look at, I'm really in the market for it right now. Because I have to get myself and my wife a new phone, and this is kind of a territory that I'm trying to research, but I'm unfamiliar with. I've kind of stuck with, this is my second smartphone, the Galaxy S5, and I really like it. I had an HTC Evo, or 3G Evo LTE or something like that, I don't know, before that, and it was a terrible phone, and the battery life was like 4 hours. I sold that on Amazon so quick for trade-in money. So, and I may keep this as just a, you know, going around, you know, turn off the cell service to it and keep it in case something happens to my other phone. But what I want to do is get a brand new phone for both of us. I've been looking at some Motorola phones. One, I want to make sure it's got the modern operating system, which mine does not have. It has 6.1 of Android, and the new ones are 7.1. I want to make sure battery life, I'm going to get the most bang for my buck. Like, preferably, I'd like it to last all day with, like, continuous use, because then that would mean my wife would get to do that as well. But, yeah, I mean, if anybody has suggestions where to look, review sites, particular phones, models, or anything, send them my way, please. I'm kind of interested in knowing what's out there, because and what people have had experience with. I like some of the ZTE phones. I like the Galaxy phones. I like the Motorola phones. I kind of stay away from the rest of them. Like, LG I would possibly do, because I've had LG phones before. But I've most of the time stuck with Samsung and Motorola. I haven't had a Motorola since the Razr, like the flip phone. I haven't had one since then. I miss that phone sometimes because it reminded me of the Star Trek communicator. That's the only thing that has me enticed about the ZTE Axum phone, where the screen folds out, is because it's a flip phone. Other than that, I don't know how I would secure it or keep it safe, because there's really no way you could put a case on it. So I'm going to move on from this diatribe here. It was requested of me recently to cover Patreon, which I don't know if anybody knows this, but I have a Patreon account for Altered Geek, as a matter of fact. It's patreon.com/... I want to say slash Altered Geek. Yeah, slash Altered Geek. I have some stuff on it. I absolutely have no idea how this stupid service works. I'm trying to figure it out. I feel very confused by it. I would just as soon get... I mean, I understand why it's in place, and I have no problems with it, but it's one of those things I'm still trying to learn. So... anyways, I do have one for the podcast, and eventually hope to get more content. Next year, I really want to get back into video. And I know I keep getting to this, and I keep saying I want to do this. Time has been the main issue. But I think 2018 may have some of that on my side. And I may start doing even the 20-minute podcast, maybe doing like 10-minute live streams or something throughout the week. Of just short episodes, or doing like AMAs, or various topics in that essence, or even doing it on Altered Geek Patreon. So I've kind of come up with various reward systems. I think they're pretty reasonable. They range from like the $1, $5, $10, $20, $50, $75, and $100. And it allows me to, a lot of it's getting more contact with me, getting early release stuff, getting, because a lot of times I have these episodes done before they're ever going to be released. And then getting like live stream conversations, coming up with content, future content ideas, producing, and having me be a producer or help with somebody else's content. So it's stuff like that. Anyways, Patreon decided to change their fees. And I know this is a little late, but that's more so because I didn't want to cover that at that particular time, as this was still developing. They'd announced some changes in the pay, which kind of screwed a lot of people over. And they've decided that they're going to roll that back and fix things in a different way, which they should have done in the first place, and include, you know, the Patreon patron people that, like me, that are trying, creators, that's what they're called, to help develop this system, because they kind of killed the $1 to $2 patron system, and essentially had screwed a lot of the creators, because I'm sure a lot of people do the $1 to $2 thing, because it's not really, I mean, you'd buy a pop one to, you know, at least once a month, and that's basically the cost for it, so it's not that big of a hurt to spend that on a creator. So I definitely see that. I think that it's interesting that the majority of people have gone to services like Patreon. I have one. It doesn't mean I fully endorse. I still think that I would rather, honestly, I would rather get rid of all of the ads. I really would. I would love to get rid of all of the ads and just have content paid by listeners and fans of the show, instead of having... I really hate breaking up the show and including, "And now a word from our sponsor." And I don't have a problem with the ones that I've done the live reads for myself, the Loot Crate or Gamefly, because I've used things like Gamefly before. I like the service, because I used to do the mail away Netflix stuff back when that was a thing. So it's not really any different there. So, and if you want to sign up for that, you can go to gameflyoffer.com/alteredgeek to sign up there with my promo code to support the show. Because we do get a kickback from it. It's kind of a shameless plug, but I like what they have. And then Loot Crate, you can get various geeky items. I love getting geeky stuff, but half the stuff in the box I find to be a waste, and that's kind of why I stopped pushing it as much, because I myself probably would not buy one. And that's because I don't like the concept of... I hate the Mighty Mug looking thing, whatever the heck they're called now. I never was a fan of Mighty Mugs, and I'm not a fan of those little brick, big giant head figure things. I find them to be annoying. I would rather get an actual action figure out of the deal, or something to that regard. Now, if it were like a Star Trek box, and like every month you got something different from Star Trek, like a bunch of stuff, comics, shirts, and, you know, the badges, the com badges, or some of the gear, or other little gadgetry from the show, like, I would be down for that. But I think that, you know, yay, I got a keychain, and I got some big Mighty Mug looking thing, and then the rest of it's good. And yay, I got a sticker, you know. I don't go for that, and that's why I don't really promote any of it. So, that's kind of my honest opinion on it all. I kind of feel that way with advertising. I don't like inundating people with it. And I know that it gets annoying, especially in this day and age, when everybody's trying to make money online and with their own content and their own shows. And that's kind of part of what bit Patreon a little bit, is because they kind of assumed that they were going to just change the platform and forget that the platform is their creators. And they, having done these changes, had to roll them back because it negatively impacted people's money, and people were like, well, I'll just move all my stuff over here and, you know, kind of quit doing it over in this area because I've been hosed. And so it's a very touchy area in the digital medium, but with the age of having to have multiple sources of income just to survive, I kind of see it that you're just kind of trying whatever you can. So I personally won't say or do a live read for something I would not pay for myself. So that's just that, again, that's why I do the Gamefly offer, and I've kind of skimped down the other, because I would do that. I don't buy games anymore, but the movie aspect is part of what gets me. I don't have a console. It's more so that if I had a console, I would use it. Because I get bored a lot. And it's also good if you have no video store around you. I have one like quarter of a mile from my house. So, that's kind of my gist on the Patreon thing. So moving to, the newest iteration of YouTube. Video service. Amazon is developing their own service called Amazon Tube. Oh, man. Somebody's trying to hurt YouTube. And so in September, Google blocked users of Amazon's touchscreen smart speaker, the Amazon Show, from seeing YouTube videos extending years-long jousting over access to rivals' products. YouTube reappeared on the Amazon Show in early December, apparently due to a workaround on Amazon's part involving the web version of Google-owned YouTube. Google wasn't happy about this, and on December 5th, once again, pulled the plug, so no more YouTube on either the Echo Show smart speaker and the Fire Stick TV, which streams web to television sets. That's pretty stupid. So anyways, amidst all that, December 5th, Amazon filed to get trademarks for two rather telling items: Amazon Tube and Open Tube. I don't know what Open Tube is, but I know what Amazon Tube is. So anyways, because of that, the trademark filing was first noticed by, somebody, last Tuesday. And so the filing's description included a few things that sound an awful lot like YouTube, such as providing non-downloadable pre-recorded audio, visual, and audiovisual works via wireless networks on a variety of topics of general interest. So this may be another platform people may want to start paying attention to, as it develops, as it were, because YouTube, with all of its regulations and everything going with it, I think that eventually people are going to start finding other channels to go to, such as Amazon Tube, to get off of that platform. So anyways, earlier in the month, domain name Wired noted that Amazon had registered the URLs AlexaOpenTube.com and Alexa, or AmazonAlexaTube.com and AmazonOpenTube.com. So I wonder where those are going to go when they get that done. But I do find it kind of interesting that, there's nothing there, so they may own it, but there's nothing on it yet. But none of it means Amazon is planning on creating a competitor to YouTube, but I find it interesting that they may do so. So this may be something people want to keep an eye on as this progresses. And I'll have fun covering this because I think it's interesting. So, yeah, and then, of course, the days may be coming to an end of sharing passwords to stream free TV. This would suck. So a report came that a crackdown on password sharing is coming thanks to cable TV providers losing billions of dollars to streaming freeloaders. Now, what they don't tell you is people aren't doing this and using somebody else's service anyway. What's going to happen is they're just going to pirate it. So at least it's through like a legal medium and they're getting like some of the advertiser dollars or whatnot, but it's not, they're not stealing. I mean, it kind of is stealing, but it's not stealing in a sense because they're not keeping it. They're not downloading it. It's a moral gray area. So leading the charge against password sharing is Charter Communications, who's reportedly railed against password sharing at a recent industry conference, and to illustrate the problem, has claimed that a single account has been used to play 30,000 simultaneous streams. No, that's ridiculous. Yeah, I can see that. But, like, if you're letting, like, one or two people log in, that's one thing. Like, 30,000, that's, yeah, you know they're stealing it there. But in an effort to reduce the number of stream squatters, Charter is reportedly asking Viacom, which operates popular channels like Comedy Central and MTV, to reduce the number of allowed simultaneous streams and force more frequent logins for paid users, according to Bloomberg. They wouldn't comment, obviously. And then ESPN has already reduced the number of simultaneous streams from its app from 10 to 5. And, you're just going to see, like, I can see if they go down to, like, 5 or 6 simultaneous logins. Like, that's kind of legit there, like, because you may have multiple people in your house anyway. But, yeah, if you're having 10 plus people logging into your account, yeah, you know somebody's bootlegging off you. So, some companies have talked about cutting it down to 3. I don't know. What do you guys think about this? I think this is kind of interesting that they're starting to kind of crack down on this. What's happening is they're speaking with their wallets in a sense, because a lot of these services cost too much money and there's too many of them out there. And so people are looking for the cheapest viable option. And with as poor as the millennial generation is, it's kind of makes sense, because it's costing cable companies $3.5 billion a year on this issue. And that figure could nearly rise to about $10 billion over the next 3 years. So, it's kind of interesting. I don't have cable TV. I don't even have Netflix. I don't have a use for it. And I watch Hulu. But if I didn't watch Hulu, I would probably not be watching too much of anything. So, unless I found a website that does it, and you can watch it on there, and that's about it. That's why I watch YouTube a lot of the time if I don't have cable. So, but I also have a lot of my own library of content that I have physical media for, which is kind of good in that sense, is you own it already. So, I don't know, kind of a different world here. So I'm gonna take a quick break, come back with listener comments, and see where we go from there.
PromoShareCast.com.
Have you ever watched an absolutely terrible movie and thought to yourself, what were they thinking?
Because we sure have.
So much so that we named our podcast after it.
What were they thinking?
Starring me, Nathan.
And Brendan.
Every other week, we take a bad to questionable movie and unpack it so you don't have to.
And then every other week, we A your Q's with our mailbag.
So that's What Were They Thinking?
You can catch us on Podbean, YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and more.
And we're back. So, if you guys want to check out another way to support the show, you can go to teespring.com/stores/altered-geek or alteredgeek.com/go/teespringfree, which is free shipping. I have that until the end of the year. There's a variety of shirts. There's the Sooner or Later the Mouse Will Own It All, which I made before the Disney Fox deal. Altered Geek shirts. Get Altered, Get Geeky, Future Imperfect, All Things Transformers. A couple of other All Things Transformers with just Ultimus Prime. Future Imperfect shirts based on the color of the original series Command and Operations and Science uniforms. Some mugs. And then, of course, the Star Wars-styled Get Altered, Get Geeky, Altered Geek t-shirts. And the No One's Ever Really Gone t-shirt with the silhouettes of Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan, Yoda, Anakin, and Luke on there. So it's kind of a fun little place if you want to support the site, because I get a kickback from that too, but you also get awesome geeky gear. So be sure to do that if you want to support the show. So listener feedback. We kind of have not really a lot of it. On the last episode that we did, the Windows 10 v Mac with some of the Disney concept and Star Trek Tarantino and Ready Player One and Jurassic World 2, Brad Mull says, wait, what part of Jurassic Park 3 with the raptors do you think was from the books? There was no Jurassic Park 3 novel. Yeah, he told me off air that he knew that. It was more so he kind of was referencing some other stuff. Can't really answer all the way for that one because I didn't have him fully go into detail. But our 20 minutes of Star Wars The Last Jedi, the Altered Geek off-the-cuff episode that we released on Wednesday. Brad also says, nice work, guys. I'll try and stay spoiler-free here. And I agree with Michael. A lot of fans' issues are from fans' headcanon or knowing about the expanded universe that's now been removed from canon. First issue with Snoke and no backstory. What did we know about the Emperor during the original trilogy? We are retreating a lot of the same beats as the original trilogy. Here, yet, fans are having issues with it. As for Rey's abilities with a lightsaber, well, she seems to close her eyes and get that ability in The Force Awakens when she fought Ren at the end. So, yeah, I mean, it's a little odd, but it's kind of... Even Yoda kind of alluded to the fact that, you know, you don't need the text, you've got the Force, so as long as you trust in the Force and you reach for it and kind of... use its essence, you get to use it. And so that's kind of what happens. So, and then I made a comment on Twitter, which I thought was quite humorous, kind of regarding the Legends of the Dark, or the Legends of the Brave and the Bold episode. Michael Draconis says, unfortunately, I know who that woman is, regarding to, because we weren't sure if, we were of Hawk and Dove. We were talking about in that episode for the chick with the computer virus. She's more or less like an ISIS type thing. She's not the terrorist organization. Like she's the Egyptian god ISIS type of a thing is what they're doing with Legends. And so I opened up this can of worms. About The Last Jedi, I know that this is kind of heavy-centric on that a little bit, despite having an episode on it already. But it's still relevant. We're still around Star Wars' release. So I looked up the footage and spoilers for The Last Jedi, and yes, keeping knowledge to myself, but I do it to focus on the film and alleviate the high expectations so I can see a film and just enjoy it. I still plan to see it, though, in its entirety, but not happy with some of it. And Optimus Solo goes, I don't understand this thought process. I would never recommend somebody to follow this process. And I said, it's not something everyone would do. I did it with The Force Awakens and still love the film. Makes no merit on the film to me. I still watch it as a whole and can judge it like it was meant to be. It more so helps me to fill in gaps I'd miss watching it the first time so that I can take in the entirety of the story. And then I said, I remember the details better. Granted, I've mostly done this with Star Trek and Star Wars because I'm going to love them anyway. Which is true. I'm very, very centric on that, and it's just interesting to think about. And in reference to your question, Scanner 51, we will be talking because this is the Friday edition of Altered Geek, the full episode, as it were. Where I'll more than likely fly solo and give my thoughts on things and kind of have a little bit of the newsy conversation. But he says, do you think with the Disney-Fox deal that Universal will give up the Florida rights? See, that never came up in our conversation, so that'll be interesting to talk about now. I think that eventually what will happen is it'll be kind of like the whole... I think that we may see things kind of revert. Like, I know Disney had a lot of Marvel at Universal. I don't know if Universal removed it right away or remember if they did. I haven't been to Universal since I was a teenager, so I don't remember. Honestly, like I remember the Hulk ride and the you know, the X-Men kind of jumping out for a live show and, you know, the Spider-Man tower drop. I remember all that, but I don't remember anything else about that. I think that what'll happen is Universal will give up the rights. I think they'll find some other franchise to tackle, which will be interesting because Six Flags has DC, so I'm not sure what tentpole they would even get. I think they have Transformers, so I think that that's going for them. They could have, you know, Harry Potter. They could have some other... Warner Brothers properties. The kiddie pool is getting a little small at this point, so it's going to be kind of fun to figure out where certain entities can go at this point. And then regarding the Gotham and Lucifer, I don't think those will go to CW right away. I think those will stay on Fox. I think that'll be something that either A, Disney decides at some point, hey, we're not going to fund this anymore because we don't want it, or B, they'll keep it going because of the following. And as we mentioned, and we will mention in the next episode, which kind of has a rocky start, I'll warn you, where we talk about the Fox-Disney deal, and then we talk about the streaming ramifications, which I'm sure we'll get more in-depth with next week, since there was an article released after we recorded that. But I think that what will happen is Disney will keep it around for a little while, and we'll kind of we'll have to wait and see. I don't see those going over to CW, though. They don't really fit that aesthetic or that clientele of age, and I don't see it going well over there. There's not a lot of young eye candy, as it were, which is what CW kind of thrives on. So I don't see it going over there anyway. If anything, I think it would go to, like, if Fox doesn't keep it, you may see it go to, like, NBC. But then again, it's just kind of a hard place to judge it at this point. So they may keep it just a dip into DC TV, because really they have no other avenue. So if there's anything you guys want us to talk about on the 20-minute show, or this one for that matter, just let us know on social media, email us. You can get a hold of me on Twitter at SCP21, or by using the hashtag What's Geeky to You. And let me know what's geeky to you guys. Let me know some of your geeky Christmas stuff that you're getting. Or that you get on Christmas Day when everybody's off from work, myself included. Looking forward to the day with family and friends. And I have a friend coming from Wisconsin that I haven't seen in almost a year. I mean, he stayed here last Christmas, so I mean, I think he may have came. He came another time of year, too. I can't remember when. But he was here. Had to have been last Christmas. I don't think I've seen him since then, which is crazy. But anyways, he's lived in Wisconsin for a while. And I used to work with him when I worked the car lot. And it's kind of... it's always fun to catch up with him. But then you're like, man, so much time has passed because people either change a little bit, or, you know, it's just, I have the funny thing is his name's Mike as well. And I think I counted, I have 8 friends named Mike, which is an irregularity with me. I've always had friends named Mike, so it's not a surprise there. So, but yeah, we tried to start the tabletop podcast a few years ago, and then he moved consequently after that. Well, actually, he lost his job first, and then he got another job, and then he moved. So, but yeah, it'll be fun to see him again. It's been a while. So, gonna play some board games. That's something that I always look forward to. Going into really the only TV news I have, Prison Break is going to be coming back for 6th season. And that makes me happy because I like the show. It was leaked through a Instagram image by Dominic Purcell. Heatwave on Legends of Tomorrow and The Flash, respectively. And Captain Cold, a.k.a. Wentworth Miller, who plays Michael Schofield in the show, opposite of his brother, Dominic Purcell, Heatwave, Lincoln Burrows. they may have found something to go back to. And it's kind of funny because Wentworth Miller is actually going to be wrapping up his run on Legends and back for one more episode of The Flash, and then he's done unless a good story comes along. And we'll still have Heatwave over there. But yeah, I'm kind of excited. I love the show. I think it's really well written. I like the direction that they've taken it. And the last season was a little rough, I'll admit. Each season's got a little bit different, a little rougher, but I don't hate it or dislike it. There was a season that should have ended a lot faster than it did, but I kind of wish I could blitz it all at once, because that's what I've done with the original on Netflix when I had it. But it'll be one of those things that kind of comes out, and it's a Fox property, so if Disney can milk their money out of it. See, this is something, and we mentioned crossovers. We mentioned crossovers in the next episode, and we were trying to pit some together and couldn't find them for the life of us. Aside from like House and like Grey's Anatomy and stuff like that, but between like ABC and Fox. But the only thing I can think of is Fox with Fox. It's still kind of a tough grab, and we explained that in the episode. I'm not going to spoil it, otherwise there's no point in listening. But I could see Lethal Weapon and Prison Break crossing over. That would be kind of a cool concept. But anyways, if it's been pitched to the network and it's going to start filming soon, apparently, it's in the works. And if it launches in April of 2018 to mirror the release date of Season 5 Revival, then they'll have to work soon. But you'll probably see a lot of the same characters return to some more or less degrees. So, I don't know. How are you guys going to be celebrating the holidays? What are you guys do for your Christmas adventures this year, instead of going to my in-laws on Christmas Eve and everywhere else on Christmas? We're hitting all three houses on Christmas Eve, starting with my dad's and then going to my mom's and then going to my in-laws and then home, and then Christmas Day we're going to be doing some kind of community service type stuff. We've been starting to do that the past year or two, kind of giving, you know, whether it be cookies or hot chocolate out to people out in the cold, like, you know, Salvation Army people ringing the bells or stuff like that. Just stuff to be a decent human being. And the smiles that come across these people's faces, like, it just shows you that people still do have, you know, they can have the most sour look on their face, and then to see you give them something just out of kindness, not expecting any kind of return, is just priceless. Speaking of which, I probably after the new year will be giving away or selling some geeky material. And I've got some movie posters, I've got some books, some DVDs, and some action figures. And I will be compiling a list of those and possibly post them in an episode of, or on a like on my Altered Geek page as like a notes thing, or my somewhere. Anyways, it'll be posted somewhere, and I'm going to sell them. I may have a list just on Twitter, and then just have people just DM me and say, "Hey, I want this," because I honestly got to offload some more crap. And if it can go to a good geek home, then more power to the geek that wants it. So, anyways, I hope everybody has a great Christmas, and we'll catch you next week after the second Altered Geek episode, which will come out on Tuesday. The next one will be out on Thursday, and then we'll have one out on the full episode edition on Friday. And then, so you can expect two a week. There'll be Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. Why the weird dates? Well, that's the open slots on the Geekcast radio schedule for the 20-minute shows, and then the full show will be here as always. So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
Where do you think you're going? Nobody's leaving. Nobody's walking out on this fun old-fashioned family Christmas. No, no, we're all in this together. This is a full-blown four-alarm holiday emergency here. We're going to press on, and we're going to have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap danced with Dan and Kay. And when Santa squeezes his fat white ass down that chimney tonight, he's going to find the jolliest bunch of assholes this side of the nut house. Where's the Tylenol?
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, make it so, make it so, make it so. Man, it doesn't show signs of stopping. And I brought me some tea, Earl Grey hot. The lights are turned way down low. Make it so, make it so, make it so. When we finally kiss goodnight.
How I hate going out in the storm.
But if you...
Really?
Shut up, Wesley! All the way home, I'll be...
Warm. Oh, the fire is slowly dying. And my dear...
We're still goodbye, then.
But as long as you love me so...
Make it so.
Make it so.
Make it so.